This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Pavo is the Latin word for peacock. Pavo Pavo is a Brooklyn band that has just released an impressive debut album called Young Narrator in the Breakers. Their music looks both forward and backwards at once, with harmonies and lush arrangements reminiscent of 60s pop, and more experimental moments that might reflect the influence of the so-called indie classical scene here in New York. The band is here to play some songs for us, beginning with Wiser Way. Here's Pavo Pavo, live on Soundcheck.
There's a wiser way to do this.
On certain bands of gold.
Second time I put you through this. Won't you count the cops and break?
Tornado, tornado. Tornado, tornado. Maybe it shines like a diamond. Tornado, tornado. Maybe it shines like a diamond. Maybe it cuts like a knife. Maybe I could spend the rest of my life.
That is the band Pavo Pavo from Brooklyn here in our Manhattan studio on Soundcheck with a song called Wiser Way, which is off their brand new debut album, Young Narrator in the Breakers. Let me introduce you to the members of Pavo Pavo, including Eliza Bagg on synthesizers and vocals, Oliver Hill on guitar, synthesizers and vocals, Ian Romer on bass guitar and more vocals, Pete Kokoma playing guitar, and Noah Hecht behind the drum kit. And Eliza, that sounded like maybe two songs sort of woozily moving back and forth one to the other. Is that kind of Lennon-McCartney thing happening? What was the song? Day in the Life, where it's like two songs plastered together?
Yeah, that was actually, there were sort of two songs, the initial part with the melody, there's a wiser way to do this, and then the Maybe It Shines Like a Diamond, which is the sort of tighter part. Those were sort of conceived independently and then brought together.
Well, now, some of the press material for you guys, it is stated that Pavo is Spanish for peacock, which is not exactly true, is it? I mean, Pavo is Latin for peacock, but in Spanish, Pavo is turkey, which would be a very different kind of... I mean, it would make you guys just... I would think differently about you if I thought your name was Turkey. Yeah, Turkey.
To be perfectly honest, none of us speak Spanish, and we didn't realize this till after the fact, so we didn't fully vet the name, but we have since had some Spanish-speaking friends say, you don't have, you know, that romantic a band name. Reminds me of sandwiches. So you can't win them all, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So, Oliver, there are multiple songwriters in this band.
Yeah.
So this could easily have been many different bands. How did it become one conglomeration of talent?
Well, that's a good question. We've kind of gathered each other over the years. It's like some of us have been doing this for a few years, some of us just a few months. And we kind of most recently have rallied around this record. So kind of the way it's worked is that people bring songs to the table and we shape them together. And then we do a lot of recording. So it's mostly kind of like the recording is king, and then whatever emerges and seems to run as a pack as part of a record ends up on the record, you know, regardless of who wrote it or where the ideas came from.
So there's like, what, 11 or 12 songs on this album?
Yeah.
It sounds like maybe there's a lot of others that kind of are waiting their turn.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot.
So the title Young Narrator in the Breakers implies that there is a kind of narrative to at least some of the songs. Did it work out that way?
Yeah, definitely. I think that the idea with the Young Narrator was partly just to give a little almost critical distance. Like, so it's not really confessional songwriting. A lot of it is storytelling, and a lot of it is just about your relationships and friends and through the lens of friends. And so I think that kind of made sense instead of saying it's me and the Breakers or something, you know.
Right. So I really liked what you guys wrote for the website Clash Music in the UK, where you sort of detailed some of your influences. I don't think anybody who's listened to the record would have been surprised to see Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys at the top of your list. But then further down, there are some other things like Eliza, Renaissance polyphony as an influence. I mean, if you're going to go for harmonies, you know, Brian Wilson, Renaissance composers. I mean, they're two different approaches, but they get you to the same place.
It's true. I think that singing together has always been a focus of what the music is about, that even though there are lots of elements, that the vocals and what it feels like to sing with other people has been a focus from the beginning of the songwriting. So both Brian Wilson, Renaissance Polyphony, bringing those things together, sort of accessing all the overtones and the sort of amazing sound that is human voices, not necessarily being presented as the solo voice, but how it sounds and feels when it's being blended with other voices.
Which actually brings me to one of the more interesting things on your list of influences, which is Beach House. Now, I don't know who wrote this actual thing. Was that you?
We wrote it together, actually.
So where you talk about gendered music, you know, music that sounds male or sounds female, and what you liked about Beach House was the way they kind of evaded that binary approach to music. Is that something that you've been working on in this band as well?
That is actually something that we talk about a lot, actually, as a group.
As we were warming up, we were doing a blues jam, and Eliza abstained from the blues jam for gender-related reasons.
Ian made a joke. It's too male for me. No, but yeah, that it is something we talk about. I mean, I think, you know, it's just a complicated thing what that really means, but I, you know, I like being in a band where there are influences coming from lots of different places, and having a co-ed band.
And I think it ties into what we were saying earlier about the narrator also. It makes it a little bit more of a collective voice, you know, having both elements.
Right. And then your list of influences, I was so thrilled to see that it ended with I Only Have Eyes for You, which is one of the great song recordings, period, end of sentence. There are no modifiers needed.
Couldn't agree more.
But what was interesting to me was you wrote about how, you know, music has a place that it's meant for. You know, there's some music that you listen to, Renaissance polyphony being a great example, and you know that was written for a church or a cathedral. And then there's other music that was clearly written for and intended to be heard in the guy's bedroom where it was, you know, where, you know, acoustic guitar. I mean, so many pop bands in Brooklyn have come out of people's bedrooms. But that was a song that seemed not to have a place. Mm-hmm. And it seems like on this album, you guys are really kind of finding lots of different places for these songs. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that also the kind of zoom of the camera angle is a cool thing to think about, too. Not just where it is, but whether you can see a whole vista or whether it's a really, you know, just
a close up, yeah.
Just a still life or
right.
whatever, you know. So
right.
I think that... yeah, we try to achieve that.
Okay. Now, the song you're going to play for us next called Annie Hall, I mean, it's pretty evident shout out to the Woody Allen film, right?
Yeah.
Why? After all these years.
Well, a lot of the songs that on this album were written in the first few years when we moved to New York, and they're sort of about the sort of conflicting feelings that you might have about a city like New York, both that it's the sort of mundane life of and the...
Careful now, you're talking to a native New Yorker.
I'm getting to the other side. Yeah, I mean, despite the sort of dirty subway platforms and you know, difficulty of just even completing a task, you know, at the end of the day when you see the sort of sweeping grand Brooklyn Bridge and, you know, the line in the song is the bridge is like a harp tonight, that's the sort of feeling that actually remains, is that sort of love and romance of being a part of this world.
That the movie captures.
True enough. Yeah. All right, you want to play the song for us?
Yeah.
The band is Pavo Pavo. They're celebrating the release of their brand new record called Young Narrator in the Breakers by playing some of it for us here in the studio today. Let's hear this song called Annie Hall.
Ah, the first to sink this sinking ship. Do the disco kick, I'm hopeless.
Pavo Pavo with another live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. That's their song Annie Hall, the new album called Young Narrator in the Breakers. And Oliver, there are at least two songs on the album that, this is one of them, that shout out to disco. Then there's also at least one or two other songs that mention dance floors and dancing.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a dance song, though.
It's not a dance song. Yeah, it's kind of, I'd say it's about... wishing you were more of a party animal than you are, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's so many lyrics about having fun tonight and whatever, and you know, we have fun, but it's not like discos are not necessarily our native habitat, and so it's kind of like a longing to be that more that kind of person.
Yeah. Because, you know, there are lots of things you can find in this record. I mentioned, you know, the 60s kind of Beach Boys harmonies and stuff, but there's also kind of an early 80s New Romantics thing.
Totally.
I don't get a strong disco vibe from any of the of the songs on this, even though it has come up several times in the lyrics.
I think the disco thing is sort of about kind of participating in a created world, similar to the thing we were sort of saying about the about being a part of New York, kind of, and that distance of seeing yourself being a part of something.
Now, Eliza, you're part of something else aside from Pavo Pavo, which is this, you know, contemporary classical scene here in New York. You sing with John Zorn, Room Full of Teeth, Bang on a Can, you know, lots of names that will be familiar to listeners of my other show here, New Sounds. Is that something that you see as a different world? Do you step out of one world and into the other? Or do, you know, to use a Ghostbusters analogy, do you cross the streams?
Actually, yeah, they don't feel very different to me anymore. I think it used to feel more that way when I was sort of studying classical music and before I sort of found what I feel like is more my path. But I think that now, I think especially in the 21st century, when you're making any kind of music, what people are really interested in is authenticity of musicianship. Mm-hmm. And that really does carry across all genres, I would like to think, I hope to think. And I think that that is especially true in the new classical world that I'm a part of also, that what people are really interested in is who you are as a musician and an artist. And that is, I embody that here and also in my work in new music.
Well, and there is a thriving kind of scene of musicians here in New York who might play, you know, a chamber music concert, at the end of which they put down the cello, take out their electric guitar, walk around the corner and play a set with their band.
I know many of those people.
Yeah. Now, Oliver, we've been talking mostly about songs and harmonies and vocals and singing, but there are a couple of instrumental tracks on the album, some of them sounding a little more, you know, experimental, a little more angular, certainly a lot less of the rich harmony and stuff.
Right.
What role do those serve?
Well, I mean, part of it is... this is just studio fun, like that track Young Narrator and the Breakers. There were lots of little snippets of music that didn't you know, quite shape up as songs or didn't need to be songs. And we kind of wanted that almost as a stamp of that time in our lives of making music for some of that to be represented on the record. So that was made just in our apartment in Dimmes Park, and it felt right to include it. And there's another one on the record
the called
Spaceman's Quiet Time with Spaceman's Butts, which is very much connected to our background in classical music because we're, like Eliza and I met in a string quartet and my family runs a chamber music camp and that's kind of, you know, the native tongue or whatever. And Spaceman's Butts was performed live in one take like a string quartet would be or something, just each of us on an instrument. Yeah.
So Eliza, I know you're a violinist. Oliver, what do you play?
Violin also.
Okay. Do we have a violist and a cellist in the group?
No, oh, but
that would be amazing.
We have
saxophone, trumpet, drum kit all the way.
All right.
And piano.
Oh, and
Yeah. He's shaking his head.
So it'd be a curious chamber ensemble, but it could be done.
It's been discussed.
You know, there seems to be a kind of still, despite, Eliza, what we've been talking about, this community of musicians who are fluent in both languages, there still seems to be a divide between songwriting and composing. Now, if you picked up the violins and, you know, Ian and Pete picked up the, what was it, the sax and the trumpet?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Would you write differently?
I don't think so, even for a second. I honestly think that divide is becoming very, very blurry and sort of is just at this point.
Come on, you wouldn't be tempted to, like, take out your old staff paper and get the pencil out and put notes on?
Yeah, that would be fun, but it would also be fun to try to keep it exactly the same. You know what I mean? To show up at a rehearsal space and be like, well, these are different instruments.
I also think the way that things get written now is a funny mix of those two things also, you know? I mean, it's definitely through composed for the most part.
Right. There aren't notes on paper, but in the sense that there's very little jamming.
Right.
Decisions are kind of made in stuck to. I'd say it's composing in that sense.
Well, the results are on the debut album by Pavo Pavo called Young Narrator in the Breakers. I eagerly anticipate their second chamber music record coming out maybe next year. We'll see. In the meantime, you want to do Ran, Ran, Run for us?
Yes, indeed.
This was released as a single before the album came out, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's a live performance of it on Soundcheck.
Burn to the beat, burn to the beat, burn to the beat, like the mayor's blazer burn.
That is Ran, Ran, Run from the band Pavo Pavo. It's off their debut album called Young Narrator in the Breakers. They've been playing some songs from that record for us here in the Soundcheck studio today. Once again, Eliza Bagg on synthesizers and vocals, Oliver Hill on guitar, synths, and more vocals, Ian Romer, bass guitar and vocals, Pete Kokoma on lead guitar, Noah Hecht behind our drum kit. And Oliver, what happens now? I mean, you've got five musicians. You and Noah have both been here before with other bands. Eliza has her other, you know, kind of musical life as well. How do you go forward from here?
Well, you know, we're all creative people in lots of different ways. So we're all going to kind of keep our hands in all the bins, you know, and we love living in Brooklyn and doing lots of things. So this band will be touring a lot, and we will also, you know, probably continue to lead balanced lives as best as we can while being in a touring band that just put out their first record.
Good luck with that. The band is Pavo Pavo. Guys, thanks so much for coming in and playing for us.
Thank you so
much
for
having us.
This is Soundcheck. That does it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but there's much more on our website, our weekly music roundup, our daily gig alerts, and of course, our Soundcheck podcasts, bringing you live music and videos and lots more. That's at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.